Torreway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Yutes Adar, the 3rd of March, Harav Aaron Hirsch, Shlita, Adar, Naphtali, and Hashem's name.
Good morning. So, as we've mentioned in the past, each Chodesh has certain characteristics, has certain definitions, and therefore Adar is no different. The Shevet, which relates to Adar, is Naphtali. If one follows the Ari and the Gro, which is Lefi Seder Chaniyoson, the way in which they encamped and travelled in the Midbar. Naphtali is the last one. The muzzle is Dogim, as we're aware. The letter is the letter Kuf. The Keach is the Keach of Schoik. And the Arizal also revealed to us that the four-lettered name of Hashem can be written in 12 different ways, and the one that is relevant to the Chodesh Adar is Tziruf Hey, Hey, Yud, and Vov. Now, the Gemara discusses the fact that there is a question when to observe the mitzvahs of Adar and specifically of Purim in a year which has two Adars, where there is a leap year. And the Gemara concludes that although we might normally say Zrizim Magdim the Mitzvahs, but here we opt for Adar Sheni based on the idea of being Soimech Geula LeGeula. Now, the interesting thing here is that we might otherwise assume that Nisan and Adar are at the opposite ends to each other. Nisan being the beginning of the year, Adar coming in at the very end, and therefore we might see them as being opposite, and in many ways that is actually the case. It's not simply a chronological idea. Nisan comes to us as a Chodesh, which is full of Nisim, where there is a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we say, Ani Hashem, Ani V'lei Acher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chvedo Yuva'atzmai, unmistakably, we are face-to-face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Inyan of Kriyas Yamsuf, Zeh Keli Vanveyu, that Rasa Shivcha Bayam, there were visions that were given to even the lowliest of people, so to speak. And therefore, in that sense, Nisan is a very revealed Chodesh, whereas Adar, as we know, for instance, with the Megillas Esther, does not contain the name of Hashem. It is a month in hiding of Hester, right? Esther Menatera Minayin. And therefore, in that sense, we would see Adar and Nisan as being at opposite to each other, not just in how they fall within the calendar, but in how they represent a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the Gemara telling us that Purim should occur in Adar Sheni because we are being Seimech Geula LeGeula tells us that actually, no, that Adar in many ways is the closest Chodesh to Nisan. Hence, you're being Seimechit, the Geula of Adar, to the Geula of Nisan. Why? This is not simply looking at the months of the year and ticking them off a calendar, but rather understanding that this completes a circle. The way that we look at time is not simply linear, that things go on, but rather that we go back over certain elements of the calendar on an annual basis. And therefore, by being Samech Adar to Nisan, we are being Samech Geula LeGeula and completing a circle in the same way as we talk of Seif Maaseh V'Machshava Tchila, that what Nisan sets out to do, V'Machshava, is seen in its fulfillment if we can carry it all the way through to the darkest month, to the month where there is the least gilui. By doing that, what we actually do is connect Adar into Nisan. And it is also the idea that we see within the spheres that the highest sphera is Keser, and the last sphera is Malchus, which are both the same thing. Because Keser is the idea for which all of Bria was created, to be Megale HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we, if we bring about the Malchus, if we, through our activities, reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then V'yitnu Lecha Keser Melucha. That's what happens through our actions, holding on to that which started as the Machshava. And therefore, Adar and Nisan are inherently not just part of the same circle, but necessary in order to bring the proper understanding of that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind when the world was created. And they both have a Shira. The Gemara in Megillah tells us that all of the Shiris are written Oriach al Gaba Levena, a half brick on a brick, which is on a half brick, the familiar pattern that we know of, let's say, from Oz Yashir. All the Shiras are written that way, except for two, which we'll, Yetz Hashem, come back to in a moment. But to name the two, one is the 31 kings that were killed by Yeshua, and the other is the Shira of the hanging of the 10 sons of Haman, where, as we know, they appear as a list rather than mushulav, one line into the other. So both months have a Shira. But the Shira couldn't be further apart. The Shira of Oz Yashir is, as we said, Zekelu Van Veyu, and the Shira of the Nes of Purim comes about through what seems to be the intervention of people, but ultimately because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it fits into this idea as well. Interestingly, there is another Shira that is relevant to this month, and that relates to the particular Shevet, Shevet Naphtali. Naphtali, not a lot written about the Shevet throughout Tanakh, but like most other Shvatim, has a bracha in Parshas Vayechi and another one in Parshas Vezosa bracha. In Vayechi, it's Ayala Shalucha Hanesein Imre Shefer. Ayala Shalucha, Ayala Sashacha, that we relate to Purim, to Esther, to the beginning of the dawn of light, but generally translated as a female deer, a hind, who is very fast. Hanoisein Imre Shefer, that gives over beautiful words, which relate both to Torah and Tefillah. This is the Midah of Naphtali. A little enigmatic. And then in Vezosa Bracha, Naphtali Sva Rotzein Umole Birkas Hashem. That Naphtali is satiated with the desire of Avodas Hashem and is fulfilled with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessing. On each occasion, there doesn't seem to be a lot of connection between the first phrase and the second phrase when we're describing Naphtali. Ayala Shlucha somehow tying into Nesin Imre Shefer and Svarotzain tying into Mole Birkas Hashem. But on both occasions, Naphtali is connected to the idea of Shevach or of Torah. Where and when does this take place, specifically through Shevet Naphtali? The answer is in the Haftarah that we read not that long ago, the longest one that exists, the Haftarah of Parshas B'Shalach. Shiras Devera. Devera is buried in Kodesh Naphtali, and also, according to the Medrash, was married to Barak ben Avinoam, who came from the Shevet of Naphtali. And she brings a Shira to be said. This Shiras Devera is one of those that is described at the beginning of Shira Shirim as the Shira which conforms to the rules not just of Shevach, but of Shir, meaning, as Rosh Shapira Zatzal explained, the Mishnah in Shabbos tells us that an animal is Yetzes B'Shir. What is Shir? It is a circular piece into which the reins are placed. Shir means, and there's a Gemara in Basra, that talks about a circular coin as being a Shir, something which gives you a perspective on the completeness. Shira is sung when you are able to see the entire picture. It's not simply praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu per se. It is praise specifically when you understand, when you have a perspective, when you're able to view an entire element, an entire narrative from its beginning to its end. And therefore, the midah keneged midah element that we see in Oz Yashir, or within the hanging of the sons of Haman, we are able to see the story constructed for us helpfully in the Megillah. A story that actually takes place over 9 years. And the truth is, were it to be left to, you know, the Daily Telegraph or the Times to write the story, they would never have connected going to the Suda 9 years earlier to a Gezerah of Haman. It is only when you understand the Amalek element within, and therefore you put those pieces together, that it conforms to the concept of Shira. But interestingly, conforming as Naphtali does to the Chodesh of Adar, this is a Shira that couldn't be further away from Oz Yashir Moshe. Oz Yashir Moshe is a case where miracles manifested. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to stretch out his arm, and the water solidifies. You have here Nes, Beseich Nes, Be'abosha, Beseich Hayam, and what happens to Mitzrayim, potentially at exactly the same time as Klal Yisrael leaving the Yam Suf. And therefore, this is an event that can only be described as Nes. Whereas, the whole of that which allowed the victory of Devera over Sisra happens through what seems to be Teva. You have in the psukim that describe the battle, Gam Ovim Notfu Mayim. The rain clouds dripped water. They rained. Yep, that's what rain clouds do. Not particularly miraculous or wondrous, but there is an interesting work I saw recently on the biblical geography of Chumash, published by Professor Yoel Elitzur, who very interesting insights into the geographical location of things, not simply pointing out where they took place, but the features around it. And he talks about the flash floods in that area. And he brings various events that have happened which back it up, and how dangerous it can become suddenly, how the whole area can be transformed through rain. So here we're talking about a victory that happens through Teva. It's the opposite of Oz Yashir. And interestingly, from a grammatical perspective, Ayala Shalucha is feminine, and Hanoisin Imre Shefer is masculine. And what is being suggested here is that Devora, who is the Ayala Shalucha, causes others to say Shira. It's not just her seeing the picture, but bringing that element out in others. She takes the lead. In fact, she tells Barak that he will not be the one mentioned because he turned down the opportunity for leadership. So she takes the lead, much like Esther does in the Megillah, and brings about a victory, but a victory that can be mistaken for Teva, and therefore very much rooted in that which takes place in Adar, in contrast to Nisan. But if we see in both the Yad Hashem and purely the Yad Hashem, then we are being Seimech Geula LeGeula, and we are connecting the dots, connecting the year, and creating the circle. And interestingly, both in the case of the Shira, in fact, in all three cases, in the outcome of the Nes Purim, and of the victory over Canaan and over Mitzrayim in the Torah itself, in all three cases, the nations disappear from the narrative for many, many years to come. The next time we come across Canaan in any sense of power is in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. So it takes decades, centuries, for Canaan to recover. The same is true of Mitzrayim. And Amalek, okay, there comes about Sancherev, who has already mixed up the nation, so it's difficult to track Amalek after that time, but we no longer come across them in a specific battle, which means in all three cases, whether openly or more under the surface, a victory takes place which resonates for many years to come thereafter. So far, therefore, the concept of the Shevet Naphtali and the idea that Chodesh Adar and Chodesh Nisan are very much connected. Let's look at the Tziruf of the Shem Havaya. We said it is Hey, Hey, Yud, Vov. So, with regards to Kislev, I explained that really, the Shem Havaya in its normal form, which obviously is Chodesh Nisan, splits into two. There is the first half, the Yud and the Hey, and the second half, the Vov and the Hey. In each case, the first letter is the Mashpia. The first half, Yud and Hey, refer to Shemayim, Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShemayim, and then Ha'aretz. The first half, the Yud and the Hey, refer to what takes place in the heavenly spheres, and the second half is the imitation thereof, is the concept of us doing that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has initiated. So Yud, which is the tiniest letter, which is the smallest area of interface, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being Mashpia, and Hey is the Mekabel, is how it plays itself out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the input, Kaviyachal, and Shemaim is created through that. With the Vav and the Hey, the Vav is the human being the Mashpia, and the Hey is the human being the Mekabel, the Zohar and the Kevel dynamic, which is why any noun in Lashon Kodesh, which is masculine or belongs to a male, ends with the letter Vav, because it is the Mashpia, and any noun in Lashon Kodesh which belongs to a female ends with the letter Hey, because it is the Mekabel. That's the relationship between Vav and Hey. So Yud and Hey is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the concept of Shemayim being created, and Vav and Hey is the that which unfolds here when we carry out that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu initiated. In this month, we have the two Hays first, the two Mekablim first, and only then the Mashpiim, which is not the way it should be. And the understanding is that in this month, you're not given direction by the Mashpiim. You have to find it on your own. That is the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name not appearing in the Megillah. It's the opposite of Nisan. In Nisan, there's a roadmap. It's quite clear what's going on. It starts with a Yud, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing the Nisim, and you now have to carry out Korban Pesach, Bris Milah. You now have to carry out the Vav. But here, everything's seemingly silent. The two Hays come first. We have to bring about, from the Mekablin, the sense of discovering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and only then does HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation occur. Just by the way, you might ask, if Adar is the opposite of Nisan, then Nisan being the Yudke Vovke in its normal form, you'd have thought that Adar is Hey Vov Hey Yud, the opposite of Nisan. The answer is that Nisan is building, the opposite of building is Churban, is destruction. Which is why the Hey Vov Hey Yud is Tammuz. Adar is not destruction, it's darkness. It's where you can't see the Mashpiim, and therefore the Yud and the Vov come at the end. Okay. So far, the concept of the tziruf of the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We also said there is a sense to each month. In the case of Adar, it is the sense of Schoik. Schoik is something that we are told that in this world, under normal circumstances, Osur la'odam, Malei Piv Schoik. Schoik is not relevant to where we are now, and as we say in Shemalos, Oz Yimolei Schoik Pinu, and as we say in Eishes Chayil, Vatischak LeYoim Acharin. Here it doesn't happen. At the very end of time, when all is revealed, that's when it takes place. Because Schoik is related to a concept we are more familiar with regards to Adar, and that is Simcha. The Malbim and the Shem Mishmuel explain that Simcha doesn't just mean being happy. There are many words that describe happiness. Gila, Rino, Ditzo, Chedva, many words. Simcha is an internal sense of contentment. It comes from understanding that what I am doing is meaningful, is worthwhile, that I play a role, that I matter, and that my actions matter and have an impact. It comes from that sense of awareness. And that brings about the concept of Simcha in the same way as when I have done something which makes me feel really good about myself, that brings a sense of Simcha. But it's the Simcha that comes as outcome, not as input. Remember, Moshe Shapiro once asking, when we go to a chasna, that's, you know, a place where people get married and people go, okay, look it up in the history books. So when we go to a chasna and we dance there, we have a mitzvah to be Mesameach Chasna Kala. But how do you know if, when you're enjoying yourself at this wedding, you're doing it for them, or you're doing it for yourself? How do you know which of the two it is? He says the test comes the next day. Do I still feel good about that which I did? Or do I feel that the merry-go-round has stopped, and now I've got nothing to do? Now there's a sense of emptiness. If it is a sense of emptiness, then it's like eating an ice cream. I've eaten it, it's now gone. There's nothing left. But if it's because I achieved something, I made something happen, then that continues. I feel good about it. And therefore, in Chodesh Adar, we are told Marbim B'Simcha, but we're not given any instructions. There are no particular mitzvahs or activities to carry out in order to be Marbe B'Simcha. Just somehow do it. And it doesn't say Nisrabe. We are Marubim. We have to make it happen. As we know from the Rambam in Hilchos Lulav and Hilchos Sukkah, the Rambam says that Simcha is avoido gedoilahi. It's a very difficult thing to work on. It doesn't just happen overnight. You have to increase it tzibislach in various ongoing acts of avoido. That's how you achieve Simcha. It is, as we said, an outcome. Now, interestingly, this is something that Rabbi Hartman often speaks about. We have two types of identity. The identity of what we do, Torah and mitzvahs, and the identity of what we inherently are. And he brings the Maral in various places. The Maral talks about tefillin, for instance, talks about the tefillin shel yad as what we do. And hence the instruction in the Torah is uksharatem, and the brocha is lehoniach, as opposed to the tefillin shel roish, which is vahoyu, they are, and al mitzvahs tefillin, it exists, it is, rather than it does, or there is an activity connected to it as such. This is also true of contrasting the simcha instructions in Adar and in Av. If Simcha is a state of being, then we never really want to be memait Simcha, because Simcha means understanding, valuing what I do and who I am. We never want to take that away, even at a time of Churban. But interestingly, when it comes to Av, there are lots of instructions as to how to be memait b'simcha, yayin and bossa and weddings, etc. Because what we are memait in Adar is the activities of simcha, but never the identity of the essence of simcha, of the being of simcha. That remains with us all the way through. That is something that never changes. And therefore, the simcha that we are marbe in Adar is the simcha really of comprehension, of understanding why it's worthwhile to be doing what we're doing, even to the degree where we can't see the outcome, because it's only oz yimole schaikpinu. Even though in the here and now we're in Hester, nevertheless, it's worthwhile. Now, this also ties in to an idea within the Megillah itself, and within the one of the four parashiyos, and that is Parsha Shkolim. The Gemara says, why does Parsha Shkolim occur before Purim? Because we are makdim refuah kodim lemaka. We give a half shekel in order to outweigh the 10,000 kikar kesef that Haman gave Achashverosh in order to kill the Eden. The problem with that is that Haman never gave the Aseret Alafim Kikar Kesef. He offered it, and Achashverosh turned him down. Achashverosh says to him in the Megillah, HaKesef Nosun Loch. Keep the money. Get rid of the Jews. I don't care how you do it. I don't need to be paid for it. You're doing me a favour. That's the famous medrash about the hole in the ground and the earth, etc. So, Haman never gave the money. If he never gave the money, why do we need to give the half a shekel to overcome something that never happened? And once again, Moshe Shapir explained, you're right, Haman never gave the money, but he was fully committed and willing to do so. This wasn't just an empty offer. He was openly ready to hand over the money in order to carry out his plans. What we need to overcome is that sense of commitment, of rotzi. That's where the question is. Who are we? Our identity. The simcha element is this something we're fully committed to doing or not? That is where we have to be makdim refuah. Excuse me, kodim lemaka. That's where it really is at. One last thing. And that is, the Gemara Megillah tells us that all the shiros are written ariach al gabba levena, except for two. The shira of the Lamed Aleph Melachim in Sefer Yeshua, and the Shira of the Aseres B'nei Haman. Why not? And the truth is there is one other, and that is Hazinu. Shiras Hazinu also is not written a Reach al Gabal Levena. Why not? So the Shira in Oz Yoshim contains the words Ad Yavar Am Hashem, Ad Yavar Am Zuchanisa. The Medrash tells us that with the miracle of Kriyas Yamsuf and the defeat of Mitzrayim, there was a request that this continue into Bias HaOretz. Bias HaOretz was held up the first time by the Lamed Aleph Melachim, and therefore it's part of the Shira of Oz Yoshir. Therefore it doesn't have its own Areach al Gabal Aveinu because it links to Shiras Hayam. And the second Bias HaOretz was held up by Homon Ubonov at the time of Koresh, when they started to go back and rebuild, and they intervened and brought Binyan Beis Hamikdash Sheni to a halt, and therefore when they were hanged, that paved the way for the second Bias HaOretz. So they are connected to that which has already been written, Areach al Gabal Aveinu. And as for Hazinu, that will be the final Shir, which won't be Shira, but Shir at the end of time, because as we say in Hazinu, Ru'u ki ani anihu, we see the unfolding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate Gilui, the Oz Yemalei Schoik Pinu, in that which will take place at the very end, and therefore that will be Areach al Gabal Aveinu to be Mashlim, the Shira which starts in Parshas Hazinu. Good.